Well, the word's good. Amen. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. We're stirred up, aren't we? Amen. This is our help. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 14 and verse 15. Of course, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You know, the Bible says that we have this treasure that's within, right? Praise God. And I'll tell you what, He is a treasure. Praise God. John 14. But a treasure can stay buried. Amen. You know, a treasure can stay in what you'd call in unknown places, right? And where there's great treasure to be found. You know, how many stories you've heard people find things in their attic, or, you know, I even a few years back had been told about a website that had thousands of people from New York State on there that were owed money, and someone let me know, your name's on there, you have money that's available to you. Well, that had sat there for so long, I had no idea, right, that money was available to me, and here was an opportunity, a blessing that I didn't know anything about. And I'll tell you, that's a way it is a lot of times with the Holy Ghost, and there's a treasure on the inside of us that's meant for such good things, and we're just ignorant of some things, don't know how to take advantage of that or cooperate with Him, and that's what we're trying to learn in this series. So I say that to whet your appetite, because it's good stuff. But let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, we're here because of You. We gather around Your word with great expectation, great honor, great reverence. Father, we are thankful for all that You've done, doing, and will do for us. We don't take it for granted. We don't take it lightly. And Father, we know that when Jesus went anywhere, He was an agent of change on planet Earth. And that agent of change thought that it was so important that part of that change, for that change to come, the first thing he did everywhere he went was he preached and he taught the Word of God. Because without the Word, without the preaching and teaching of the Word, there can be no change. There can be no miracles. There could be no turnaround. There could be no deliverance. And so, Father, we thank You for the Word. We give it first place tonight. We're hungry for it. We're excited about it. And I thank You for boldness. I thank You for utterance. As I open my mouth, You will fill it, Father. And I thank You for that. And Father, whatever we receive tonight, it's because of You. We always look to You. We always thank You for what You've given us, for what You're doing. And Father, thank You so much for what we're about to receive. We're ready. We're excited. Hit bullseyes tonight in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in John chapter 14 and verse 15, the Bible says, if you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now He tells us who that is in verse 17, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He shall dwell with you, and He shall be in you. And so we're looking at things. Now go with me to John 16:7. So the Bible tells us that we have the Spirit of God that's with us at all times, but also in us. Praise God. John 16 and verse 7. This is Jesus encouraging His disciples because He's getting ready to leave. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or advantageous or profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. You know, if you think about why it's advantageous, when Jesus was here, we know that the Holy Ghost and God and Jesus, they're all the same. You know, the Holy Ghost isn't Diet God. It's not, Holy Ghost is not the food club version of Frosted Flakes, right? Or, you know, the lesser version of God. And if Jesus never left the earth, you know, we'd have to make a trip over to Jerusalem to get the benefits of what He has to offer, right? He had to be right there. But now, boy, He just came right across the ocean and just jumped right into your heart. Praise God. Into your spirit. Praise God. Now He's dwelling with your spirit on the inside of you. And He says, I'll send Him unto you. Now, if you drop down to verse 13 there, He says, how be it when He, the Spirit of Truth, has come. Again, He's encouraging His disciples. It's going to be better when I'm gone. He says, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And so the Bible says that the role or the ministry or the resume or the job description of the Holy Ghost, the one on the inside of you, is to guide you into all truth. Amen. That all truth is God's plan. It's God's purpose. It's God's will. It's God's word, right? Because God's will for your life is also God's word. And God's word is the highest level of truth there is. And the Holy Ghost wants to guide you into that, to living that. What's the truth? Truth is prosperity. Truth is healing. Truth is favor. Truth is protection. And he says he'll guide you into those things. You know, there's a whole lot of Christians that aren't living according to the truth, right? I don't just mean living outside the boundaries and doing wrong things. I mean, they're not living what truth has to offer them. Healing and prosperity and favor and victory and all these things, abundant life. But the Bible says the Holy Ghost will guide you into that. Praise God. That the Holy Ghost will lead you into those things, but also that, not only that, he'll show you things to come. You can live with the future teller. Amen. The Holy Ghost is a magic eight ball on steroids. Remember the magic eight ball? I mean, when those things came out, I was like, yes, now I can figure out my future. Does so-and-so like me? All signs point to yes. All right, you know. All right, doesn't look too good, you know. But we have the supernatural eight ball on the inside of us. Praise God. And he said, I'll show you things to come. I'll guide you into all truth. And then, again, review here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9, I don't have a problem reviewing this stuff because reviewing it further brands it in you. Yeah. It further gets that into you. You know, when somebody goes to get a tattoo, what's that? It's really kind of branding them and it stays there for life, but it's not just someone takes just a crayon and just lightly goes over them to get that on them. It's a needle, right? They digging in and making it permanent there, right? That's what this review does. It brands you. It gets it in you. And it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him, even though the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, verse 12 is so important with this series. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now, notice this, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So look what it says here. And this is so vital to open your eyes, to pull the chain, to light that, get that light bulb on in your mind and in your heart. Notice the Bible says that there's things that are freely given to us by God. Now, God's not up in heaven preparing things. The Bible says the works have been done before the foundations of the world, right? The path has already been laid out. The blessings have already been laid out. Prosperity has already been given. Healing has already been given. The plan for your life has already been laid out. But notice that the Bible says that the way we can know these things or experience these things is by the Spirit of God. We've been given the Spirit, not of the world, but the Spirit of God, so that we would know these things. Amen? And I use many examples that, you know, that people have experienced. Prosperity is in your future. It is a plan that God has for you. And we've used examples in my own life and different testimonies that certain people got into a great level or a different level of prosperity by how they followed the Holy Ghost on things. They made decisions in the natural based on what the Holy Ghost said, and that ended them at the place of prosperity. That place of prosperity was always there, but it was only accessed or able to be experienced by the leading of the Holy Ghost. I used my own example of getting into my house. There was a house that the natural, the circumstances, the finances, the paycheck, the savings account, natural wisdom all said no, no, no. And so if I would have just had the checkbook to go by or my own thinking or a calculator, I would have never even made an appointment to see the house. But the Holy Spirit walked me through that the whole time. And so here God had that house for me, had better for me, but it took the Holy Ghost to get me into it. Amen? I could have gone without. And how many of us then would maybe think about our lives or think about people we know that don't even know the Holy Ghost? and don't know how to operate with the Holy Ghost, there's so much great things for them, but we see principles in the Word that there's certain things you'll never get into, you'll never have revealed to you, you'll never have experienced unless you know the Holy Ghost and learn to cooperate. So that's why this is so vital. Amen? When He's a guide in life to what? Keep us from the bad places. Keep us from going backwards. Get us into increase. Get us into that prosperity. But we have to know how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost because He is a treasure within. And remember, we used the example of the Mario Brothers game, brand new game in the 1980s that someone hadn't opened and had found buried beneath some papers in an old desk. And there had been sitting there for 30 some years and it was worth $660,000. They sold that at auction. And no doubt, the year before, it would have maybe not been worth as much, but it would have been worth a whole lot that could have paid off that person's debts and been a blessing, right? Or the year before that. And the whole time, it's there. But because they just don't know, they couldn't access it. And every Christian has the Spirit of God on the inside of them. And yet, not every Christian walks in prosperity. Not every Christian walks in victory. Not every Christian walks in abundant life and favor. And a lot of Christians just are living a very hard life year after year, not just seasons of tests, but a lifestyle of crisis and conflict and sadness and despair and poverty and lack. And why would that be when the Holy Ghost, who is God, is desiring to lead you? And the Bible says, I lead you beside the still waters, the green pastures. And when you come to the valleys of the shadow of death, you're going to keep going right through that. Praise God. We don't camp out there, but a lot of Christians camp out there. And a lot of reason is we just sit around. Well, if God has a nice house for me, if God has prosperity for me, I'll just walk into it. Well, I can point out many examples in my life, people's lives, places in the Bible where people had to hear from heaven, make adjustments, make moves, make turns, make different tweaks, and got them into that place. And so that's what the Holy Ghost is endeavoring and helping us to do. But how many of you know the answers that we need, the direction we need to get into places and get out of places that we need to get out of? You know, if you lose something, it doesn't matter how much you need it, doesn't matter how much you want it, how much you desire it, it doesn't even matter how hard you look. If you're looking in your car and your keys are not in there, it doesn't matter how bad you need them, how much you want them, right? Or how hard you look in that place, if they're not there, you're not going to find them. Amen. If they're in the couch cushions or somewhere in the bedroom, you got to look in the right place. And it doesn't matter how much you need prosperity, need a new home, need a new job, need direction and wisdom. If you're looking for these things in the wrong place, it doesn't matter how sincere you are. Right. It's not in the right place. It's always found in here. Amen. And so we're trying to get us to look in the right places. And then also we'll learn in this series how to cooperate. But the first thing we looked at starting last week when we started to go forward in this series is that how the Holy Ghost, before we see how He is leading us, it's important to see how He's not leading us. Because many people, myself been there included, many of you I'm sure, and some of you told me stories of how you have been, but I know this, that the body of Christ is being led by something. We're all being led by something, but unfortunately because of ignorance, because of whatever carnality, we're not being led by the right things. And we're really just playing lottery or flip a coin with our lives or just pull it and hopefully it comes up, you know, triple cherry or triple sevens and works out. But, you know, if not, well, we're just going to keep trying. But we can be skillful. Amen. We can hit the mark here. And so we saw last week some ways, or the week before, maybe, I can't remember when we were off, but go to Romans 8 and verse 12. Romans 8 and verse 12. It's so important that you realize this because so many people are led this way. And I'll tell you what, it's so easy to be led by this because the world operates on a system of reinforcement through feelings, reinforcement through appeasement in their mind and things. And we saw in Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Why? What happens if you live after the flesh? That means, what's the flesh? It's your feelings. It's your emotions. He says, if we live after the flesh or the way our body would want to operate, where our feelings would tell us, where our emotions would tell us, you'll die. What is he saying? It doesn't lead to increase. It leads to lack. It leads to loss. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So what he's saying here is we don't live after the flesh. We don't let our carnality or our emotions or our feelings make the decision for us, right? And we saw several places in the Word of God where God was leading somebody, but my goodness, would it have violated their flesh, right? And we also saw things in the Word that people's flesh would have been tickled and been thrilled with something, and it wasn't God, right? And I gave you personal examples of things, and to not get into too much of that, you can go back and check that on the archive, where there were things that would pop up in my life that, man, sure appeased the carnality side of me. My emotions really liked how that felt, but the Spirit of God was saying no. Or times where things maybe didn't feel so good in emotions. You know, when God told me to go to Rhema and I started to think of what all that entailed and I didn't know anybody there and the familiarity I was leaving and being naturally a homebody the way that I am and the truck that I had, the lack of finances, not wanting to go to Oklahoma. I had just been there in February for the Winter Bible Seminar. Now I'm told to go there to school. And I'll tell you, in my emotions, I sure didn't want to do that. And then I had that pastor from down in Pennsylvania that said, go to the Bible school around here where you can come home on the weekends. We'll pay your way, and you don't even have to work when you're there. And when you get out, we'll sign you to be in our youth leader. Before you even go, all you got to do is graduate and do good there, and we'll pay for everything. And I'll tell you what, my emotions and my feelings loved that. But my spirit was saying no. I would have departed from my man of God, from my place, and I would have been in some church teaching that healing's wrong, that healing's not of God, because that's the way they believed, you know, and it would have got in me. And so, but that's an example where you cannot go by your feelings. And we said that's how a lot of people get in trouble in life, you know. Well, it feels good to my flesh. That must be God. Well, there's times that God's leading, it lines up with the flesh, but there's times it certainly doesn't. Amen, or vice versa. And so we saw that. And then we saw in Isaiah, you don't need to turn there, I'll just give you this reference, Isaiah 55:8-9, where he says, what? My thoughts? Not your thoughts. Amen? That my thoughts are higher. And so I love that God tells us right off the bat. And what do we see in Proverbs? I believe it was like over there in about 14 and verse 12, where he says, there's a way that seems right unto man. It seems right to me, but the ways thereon are death or decrease or destruction or lack. And you know, I see this all the time. And one of the things about following the Holy Ghost is with following the Holy Ghost of how specific he's been to our future and back. He sees the future. He knows everything. He's the ultimate safeguard for our life in every decision, in every relationship, in every business transaction, every job we may take, and anything that we might do. The Holy Ghost is there to keep us from the pitfalls, to keep us from hurting our lives, hurting others and things. And so what I hear a lot of times people saying, and I'll always bring it back, because I actually just had a conversation recently with somebody that said this. They said, well, I think this. And it was about something that, had they just kind of gone with what they were thinking, could lead to great fallout. And I knew that, but what I said to the people is I said, you know what will keep you safe from that? What is the Spirit of God saying about that? Because there's things, you know, that, I mean, I remember when Pastor Michael, when I told him I was going to pastor a church in South Dayton, and he said, well, years ago, I had had a vision in South Dayton of a great door and effectual. And we both kind of were on the same page. Naturally, in your mind, you would think, why would you start a church in South Dayton, New York? And that's the thoughts I had when I came through here the first time. I sneezed and I missed the whole town. I was coming into South Dayton. And by the time I sneezed, I was already in the next town. And I was like, do we need to turn around? What's going on? And so, and of course, then, you know, I ran into the Amish folk that I thought was a lady, or I thought the man was a lady and the lady was a man. I got it all confused and got all rattled. You know, that was bizarre. So all because of a sneeze. I missed it. I had to ask the Amish people for directions back to South Dayton. And so But I thought, I would never start a church here. Why would you start a church here? There's no buildings. There's a couple churches down the road. Like, why would you start a church here? But there's a thing where it's like, my thoughts did not equal. And what would have been lost had Pastor Michael dismissed it, had I dismissed it, said, it's a rural town of 600 people, population. Why would we do that? You can't go by your thoughts. And so I tell that person, what does the Holy Ghost say? The Holy Ghost will keep you safe from what you think. You know, the Pastor Mike Anderson translation of Isaiah 55, where he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, is basically God saying, hey, just want to let you know, don't give a rip what you think. You ought to not give a rip what you think. You ought to give a rip what God thinks. Because our minds can be influenced by things, right? And you start thinking of doing things a certain way, or I should do this with my money. This is what I should do with my kids. But what is God saying? That's where safety lies. That's where the increase lies. That's where the bullseye lies. Hallelujah. And so go with me real quick to Acts 16 and verse 6. I want to show you this and then we'll go forward. We didn't share this verse last week. But I want to show you how going by what you think and what you feel, absolutely, in a situation, I can't think of anything greater than this, that would show you that, wow, even in a situation like this, how you think and how you feel, you better find out from what the Holy Ghost is saying. But in Acts 16 and verse 6, look what it says. Now when they had gone through, I'd like to pretend to you that I know what that pronunciation is and that I'm some biblical scholar, but I have no idea. Is that Phrygia, Phrygia? I don't know. We're going to call it that place there, the region of Galatia. Now notice this, they had gone through there, they were forbidden of or by the Holy Ghost. What's that? The Holy Ghost telling them no. To do what? Preach the word in Asia. And after some time, they'd come to Mysia or whatever that was, and they essayed or they endeavored to go into Bithynia. I'm just glad we have places like South Dayton, Jamestown, Lakewood. It makes it so much better for me. It says, they forbid, essayed or endeavored to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered or allowed them not to. Well, what were they doing when they preached the word? Bringing help, getting people saved, getting people born again, bringing healing to people, signs, wonders, and miracles. And the Spirit of God is telling them, no. Well, you would think and you would feel like, it feels like it would be a smart thing, and I would think it would be a good thing where the word's not being preached. Go start preaching the word there. But the Holy Ghost said no. Now, we don't know all the reasons of the Holy Spirit, but let me tell you this. This will help you. One of the signs of a mature Christian is a Christian that does not question the leading of the Spirit. Because sometimes God will lead you. When he told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, get up and go. He didn't lay the whole plan for the next few years out for him. He didn't even tell him where to go. He just said, get up, pack, and start going. Well, Abraham could have, like a carnal person, well, where am I supposed to go? I'm not going until I go. No, the Spirit said, go. Or Abraham, take your son up on a mountain, led to such great blessings, and he could have gotten his head. Well, I don't know. I can't figure this whole thing out. A mature Christian just obeys, whether or not you know the whys and the hows and the whats and the whens. Amen. But here, they're not supposed to preach the word. And Paul, you know, it's kind of like this. I know how to start a church now. I'm not saying I'm the be-all, end-all of starting churches, but I know how to do it now. I know what can get people to come. The word can cause people to come. I know how to minister to people. You know, I've done it for 10 years and started the other church in Allegheny. And here I have a Tuesday night available. I have Monday night available. I have Thursday night available and Friday night available in the sense of I'm not in church those nights. And, you know, those aren't maybe the most strategic times to have church. But I know if I went into a town and started a church on a Friday night, I know people would come. Yeah. Because of you? No, because the word is a magnet. Yeah. And I know people would get saved. Yeah. And I know people would get healed. But the Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. No doubt they go into Asia and preach the word. They're going to see some fruit. But there's going to be some sorrow attached that was not meant to be attached to their lives because God didn't lead them to do it. Let me mention this, and as we build on tonight, this came up as I was getting ready. And as I was actually putting my tie on it, these words came into my spirit. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. And just because you can't doesn't mean you shouldn't. Now, what am I saying by that? Just because you can do something or think you should do something or it seems good to do something doesn't mean you should. What is the Spirit saying? And just because the natural circumstances say you can't doesn't mean you can't and that you shouldn't. The Spirit of God might tell you still go do that. Amen. Hallelujah. And then that supply or whatever that blessing comes. So I want to build on again tonight. Go to Judges chapter 6 and verse 36. Judges chapter 6 and verse 36. I want to build tonight on looking at how the Holy Ghost is not leading us and the mistake that so many people make. And my hope is that you would look and say, okay, I've been making decisions based on my flesh. I've been making decisions based on my mind. In fact, I don't ever even consult God with these things. And maybe you can look back and say, wow, that got me into some trouble. But in Judges chapter 6, there's not even a verse 36. Or that's Joshua. If I could read, I'd find... I'm sure there is a verse 36 in Judges, yes. Judges 6, verse 36. Now look at this. So we saw that God doesn't lead by flesh. God doesn't lead by mind. But now I want to show you how else God's not leading you. And Gideon said unto God. Now remember, this is Old Testament. They do not have what we have, the Spirit inside of them, dwelling with them. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew is on the fleece only, and it's dry on the earth, then I shall know that you'll save Israel by your hand as you have said. So he's saying, I'm going to know what you think about this situation. I'm going to lay a fleece out. And if the ground is dry, but the fleece is wet, which naturally wouldn't happen if you laid one out and the ground got wet, he said, I'm going to know that's how you're leading. In verse 38, it was so, for he rose up early in the morrow and thrust the fleece together, wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water, but the ground was dry. And Gideon said unto God, let not your anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove. I pray thee but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. So now he's flipping it around. He's saying, now let the ground be soaking wet in the morning, which naturally would soak the fleece, but I'm going to know it's you if the ground's wet and the fleece is dry. And verse 4, he says, and God so did that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew all on the ground. So then he knew this is how God's leading. This is what God is saying about this situation. Well, and a lot of Christians still act like their name on their birth certificate is Gideon. And that you still live prior to Jesus dying, raising again, receiving him and the Holy Ghost coming in. What am I trying to tell you? He doesn't lead by flesh. He doesn't lead by mind. But God also does not lead by circumstance. What? Outward circumstances that you see. This was Old Testament. They did not have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. God did not say, I will lead you by the writing on the wall or by the angels' voices. Or by visions, by revelations. No, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I was talking years ago to a person that had a business, and all of a sudden I saw a for sale sign out in front of it, and they were Christian. And I had pulled them aside. I was surprised. I didn't know that they had even, I didn't know it was on the radar to even sell the place. And so I said, wow, I didn't know you were selling it. Tell me about that. Well, I don't know if I'm selling it or not. Well, there's a for sale sign. What do you mean? Well, if it sells, I will know that's what God wanted me to do. If nobody buys it, I will know that God didn't want me to sell it. And I want to say, well, hello, Gideon. No. Before you put the for sale sign out, you find out what God is saying about that. Before you get into a relationship, what is God saying about that? Well, if it works out, this job, if things are going well with this relationship, then it must have been God. If things go south, then it must not have been God. That is so dangerous to play with your life. But how many of us do that at times? Right? We I mean, think about back to my Bible school thing. Rhema represented taking my son up on the mountain and sacrificing him, a hard thing to do. Circumstances would have said, go to the Bible school that the pastor's paying for. You have your future secure in a job afterwards, right? Circumstances would have said the exact opposite of what God's saying. Now, that's not always the case, but you can't be led by circumstances. I mentioned this a little bit earlier about my house. Every bit of circumstance said no to pursuing that, right? The price that they were asking for, the banks had already told me I couldn't even get that much money. When Courtney had her job, which was the breadwinning job of the family, when she had that job and we went to the bank to see how much we could get, they didn't even give us an amount. It was tens and tens of thousands of dollars less with her working than what we would need for that house. Now she's not working. And so the bank already told us there's no money for this. There's no savings for this. No paycheck even comes close to meeting that need. Circumstances would have said no. And remember my Ishmael house. My Ishmael house was also a step of faith as it was increased, but not anywhere the near level of stepping out onto what God has. But also, the Ishmael house doesn't even compare to the blessings and the things that came with the house we're in now. But the Ishmael house, it screamed yes to circumstances. I thought, wow, I don't have to use my faith. The thought of the worry, the extra money a month that would be there. All the circumstances said yes to that, said no to the other place. But God was saying no to the Ishmael house and yes to this house. Amen? You can't go by circumstances. You can't go by circumstances. Well, that's going to be really hard on my flesh to go to Rhema. It's going to be so much easier circumstances say, you can't be led by that. It's dangerous. Go with me to 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a life for you on this earth that is has the, it's, it'd be like a supernatural Easter egg hunt for the rest of your life. What do I mean by that? When you're following the Holy Ghost, things that he'll lead you to and surprises that you never could have imagined, that you never could have got into without it. And if you've been living your whole life by circumstances, thoughts, just feelings, going by what other people say and things, and we'll mention that tonight as well, I'm here to tell you, don't beat yourself up, but get excited. Because the rest of your life is going to be special. The rest of your life is going to be supernatural. God's not holding those years against you. God's not punishing you. He's saying, let's go today. My mercies are new. Let's get on this blessing train. But 1 Kings 17 and verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, now listen, you know what she's going to talk about now? The circumstances. He said, through the word of God said something, which was what? Feed me. Now she's going to talk about her circumstances, which are going to line up with what her mind and her flesh would say, that no, 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 being contrary to what God is saying. And she said, as the Lord God lives, I don't have a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Of course, we know Elijah said in her, fear not, go and do as you have said. Make me a cake first, bring it unto me, and make one for you and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And we know verse 15, she said, it said she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, which was just the prompting of God. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Look at the increase. You talk about an Easter egg of following God and opening that Easter egg. This lasted, just many days. Bless her, the man of God. Supernatural for her family. But think about this for a second. The circumstances absolutely said no way. The dumbest thing naturally she could have done in that situation was give this man food, which was seemingly taken away from her child and herself, right? Naturally, that's the dumbest thing in the world. Why do I tell you this? Well, thank God she didn't listen to circumstance. Thank God she didn't listen to feelings. Thank God she didn't listen to her mind. She listened to what God was saying. Well, how God is leading us? By the Spirit of God. I'll give this example. We know this, that sowing and reaping are real. That whatsoever a man sows, that's what he will reap, right? We sow more, we reap more. You plant more as a farmer, you reap more as a farmer. It's the same principle. Years ago with the church, this was back when we were still in the storefront, there was an offering that had come up to be a blessing to another ministry. And I had purposed in my heart what to sow from the church. People always ask, you know, at times, and it's no secret, we have a board. People in a board can look at the finances and things and check that out. It's not, we're not hiding anything, what the church does. The church is very generous. There's 6 or 7 ministries and ministers that we support every single month. Things come up on our plate in the community of needy things, and I'll secretly cut them a big check. And, you know, we don't get much fanfare for that, but that's not what we want. Let your right hand not know what your left hand's doing. Amen, or vice versa. And so the church is very generous. The church, why? Because we believe in blessing, and we also believe in sowing and reaping. And so I had purpose in my heart. This was good ground to sow into. This is something I want my church to have seed in the ground for. And I had come up with an offering that I was going to give. Well, I was at a Dr. Frame meeting in California years ago. And it was during the offering time, during the prayer of the offering out there. And clear as day, the Holy Ghost told me, this is the amount you're going to give. It was 5 times the amount that I had purposed in my heart. But at the time, it was a good portion of what the church had in the account. And here we are getting ready to move into what was the new building, which was, or the old building, the old fellowship hall, which is this, or the old sanctuary, which is the fellowship hall now. And of course, that was going to mean a greater payment, whatever, you know, more needs being needing to be met. But I knew that I heard. But I'll tell you what, getting ready to move, change locations, a higher mortgage payment. It was right about the time we had some people that had gotten offended that were so faithful. I mean, they had started the church with me. I mean, they started with me, helping me build some things in the church. And they were great givers. They had left. And so it was like naturally, it was looking like a tailspin. And God said that to me in my mind, in my flesh. And the circumstances were all shouting, no, 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 no. And the temptation and the thoughts that went through, well, what would have happened? Because when I sowed that seed, I went through and I did, I sowed that seed. And I sowed that seed. It wasn't, I don't remember how long after, within a few months after, 12 times the amount. One was a big check that showed up in the mailbox for someone that didn't even attend the church that wrote us a check. It was a check for $25,000. And 2 checks came in that had never come in before in our church that were 12 times the amount that I sowed. What happened? Sowing and reaping work. Well, what did God do? He supernaturally multiplied that seed. Well, what did God do when that woman with her finances, her substance, sowed into what God was saying? He supernaturally multiplied it. We all want to get into these great increases. You can't get into great. I'll just say it this way. Uncommon seeds produce uncommon harvests. They do. Why? They produce after their own kind. We talk about the $1 million miracle. I'm sorry, but I have it in my heart. We're not going to get the $1 million check by just bringing our normal tithes and offerings into the church every week. Somebody or multiple people are going to have to greatly increase. And that, you know what's awesome? We think million-dollar miracle is a big whoop-de-doo. We've already done it one time where we got one-tenth of that miracle. We had a $101,000 offering. We already did one-tenth of it. We can do a million. The majority of churches in America might never even see an offering of $101,000. We already did it. We're believing for a million. But it's not going to happen by just people going to work and giving their normal tithes and offerings, because it hasn't happened yet. We're blessed and we have increase here and we meet all our needs and we sow. But how's it going to happen? People are going to have to walk into great increase for it to happen. Well, how are people going to walk into great increase? Through the leading of the Holy Ghost. But at times, everybody would say, I want a 12 times return on a seed. And of course, the bigger the seed, the bigger the return would be on 12. You know, you multiply 12 times 2, you get a number. You multiply 12 times 3, you get a bigger number. 12 times 4, you get an even bigger number. So that first number, the seed, helps determine what the harvest is. So if you're a person that's always led, or let's just even say it in your own life, you need a big harvest for your own life. There might be things coming up that the Holy Ghost knows, wow, this is going to break down in your life. You're going to need a new car all of a sudden. You're going to need a new washer and dryer. You're going to need a new roof all of a sudden down the road, and you don't have the money for it. And so the Holy Ghost then tells you when you're struggling right now, sow an uncommon seed. And what are you going to do when your mind and your flesh and the circumstances, your bank account, your checkbook are all screaming no at you? You see why it's so dangerous to not be led by the Spirit? Because we have biblical proof that the Spirit at times will tell somebody to do something that makes their eyeballs spin, makes their flesh uncomfortable, and where circumstances say you are a moron. But it was God the whole time. We as a church needed that 12 times harvest. How did we get into it? Somebody that knew how to hear, knew how to cooperate, and didn't listen to their flesh, their mind, and circumstances, and dropped that seed down, and the harvest came. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, I could stand up here and tell you personal stories of sowing great sacrificial seeds and the increase it led. And my mind was going berserk. My flesh was going berserk. But when you know how to follow the Holy Ghost, amen? It's just like even starting this church. You can imagine with a baby on the way, knowing I'm not getting any salary until the church can stand on its own. Well, I'd go start a church in South Dayton. Oh, well, I'll never get paid. That's what my thoughts are saying. We're not going to have anybody showing up to this place, you know. Circumstances of population, lack of a building, are all saying no. But look at the fruit. Amen. We're in our second building and already believing God for our third, and we've only been here for, 11 years? Can't be led by circumstances. Can't be led by money. Can't be led. And other things you can't be led by, you can't be led by pressure. You can't be led by guilt. How many people continue within family members to deal with all the time, continue to do things that are either killing somebody with kindness, are coddling, are being a, supporting something that they shouldn't? Why? Because of pressure. I heard the statement once, you ever heard the term blood is thicker than water, talking about how the blood of a family, like, it comes first. And then I heard the statement, that's not true. It should be blood is thicker than common sense. Because some of the things that people do in the name of blood for their families completely violate the word, completely violate what the Spirit would be saying. But because it's family and it's my blood, not blood is thicker than common sense at times. And they continue to support things they shouldn't, and continue to coddle things they shouldn't, and pad things they shouldn't, killing them literally with kindness, right? Let me just say this. I don't know why someone needs to hear it. It's because there's an emphasis in my spirit about it. If God's telling you to do something with a family member, and in your mind, all you're seeing is the fallout of the action you're supposed to take, or the decision you're supposed to make, or the word you're supposed to give, and you're just thinking of the fallout, remember there's an enemy who likes to work on you and give in through the thought life. God loves, I was just dealing with somebody that had a tough family situation about a month ago, maybe a little less than that. And God was leading them a certain way that the family member would not like how this situation was going to turn out. That naturally to them it would make the parent look unloving, like they don't care, like they're not interested. But they knew that was God, and it was God what God was saying to them. I mean, I had it clear in my spirit. I had a situation years ago. I'd come out of the hospital seeing my dad. And someone had been going through something for years and years and years and years and years with a family member. And the Spirit of God dropped it in my heart all of a sudden and told me what that person was supposed to do, because this person was always like, I don't know, I'm not sure it's if I do this. And there was a lot of natural things that would point to, that's scary. If I do this, it could lead to a downfall. And the Holy Ghost, as I'm walking across Foot Avenue in Jamestown from WCA into the parking lot, drops my spirit exactly what to do. I get in my truck and I call the person. I said, tell me if this bears witness with you. And I said, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me by word of knowledge. I know what you're supposed to do. This is exactly what, but this is what the Spirit also told me, that he had already been telling this person this. So I wasn't guiding them. It was going to confirm to them. And I said, God's telling me this is exactly how you're to operate. He said, Pastor Mike, God's been telling me to do that for years. So I'm trying to tell the person, and just like I was trying to tell the person a few weeks ago, if God's telling you to do something, God doesn't love you more than that person. God loves that person just as much as that God loves you. So God's not going to tell you to do something at the detriment of this person that he also loves. Amen? What's the safest possible thing a person can do? Follow the Holy Ghost, no matter what. Hallelujah. How many times have we heard stories of people taking jobs because circumstance said they need the money? Well, you need Sunday morning feeding more than you need a paycheck. I'm sorry to tell you, it's truth. The Bible doesn't say they that are planted in their job will flourish. Many people are planted in their jobs and their lives are hell and chaotic and stressful. It's the truth. You plant in the house of God, the Bible says you'll flourish. End of story. But there's a case where circumstances will try to get people to plant in other places. Money tells me I need to plant in church. Circumstances tell me I got to plant my kids in everything but church, because I got to keep up with the Joneses. I got to keep up with everybody else in school. I'm not against recreation. My kids do karate, gymnastics. They do fun things. But man, not at the expense of spiritual build up. Amen? Hallelujah. But circumstances, pressure, dictate people and how they live. No. Go with me to Acts 20, verse 22. So you can't be led by your flesh, can't be led by money, can't be led by your thoughts, can't be led by circumstances. Acts 20, verse 22. Here we have on the inside of us the one that's not only willing to help us, but the one that knows every single answer, every single direction, every single no and yes that we should go forward on. There's no reason for us to stumble. Acts 20 and verse 22. This is a big one here. Paul said this, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. What's that mean? The Spirit is guiding this. He's bound me. He's captured me, told me what I'm supposed to do. What's he say? Bound by the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23, save that, or accept that the Holy Ghost witnesses that in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me or wait there for me. So he's saying, I know by the Holy Ghost, I'm arrested in my spirit, that the Spirit of God is telling me to go to Jerusalem, and I don't know everything about where I'm going except the fact that there are going to be some natural tests and trials when I get there. But I'm guessing that Paul knew how to follow the Holy Ghost. And we know Paul was supposed to go and testify to Jerusalem here. Now go to Acts 21 and verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, so like Paul's belt, it's like ripping Paul's belt from him. And he bound his own hands and feet. So he rips Paul's belt out, and Agabus ties himself up with Paul's belt and says, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. That was no surprise to Paul. He just said in a chapter earlier, I'm going to Jerusalem and the Holy Ghost is telling me when I get there, trouble's waiting for me. Well, now Barnabas or Agabus here comes and confirms that. Well, what would be the reason that he would confirm that? Well, not only maybe to help Paul, but also letting people know, better be praying for this man. Amen. There's a real enemy out there. But anyways, Agabus demonstrates, rips the belt out of Paul and demonstrates, binds his own hands and feet and says, this is how the man that owns this girdle, this is what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem. Well, it says, verse 12, when we, who are we, the disciples, heard these things, we sought God and found out from the Holy Ghost whether or not it was for him to go or not. No. We heard these things. What? Yikes! You can imagine what their mind says. We love Paul. We don't want him bound. That doesn't feel good as someone we love him. Our emotions don't like that. What we're hearing doesn't like. Circumstances don't like that. It says, we heard these things, both we and that other place, besought him not to go. It's on a lesser level, it's like that pastor. Why are you going to Ramah? Doesn't make sense. We've got a Bible school right here. Why are you going to Ramah? Spend all that money, be away from work. Why would you go there? Because the Holy Ghost told me to. And then what do they say? Don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go. And Paul answered and says, why do you mean to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the Lord of the will be, the will of the Lord be done. See that? What was the will of God? For him to go to Jerusalem. What am I trying to tell you now? You know how else you can't be led? You better be careful. Don't be led by other people. Oh my goodness. Woo-hoo. I was in the, I'm not trying to be mean and hurt feelings here. I was in the church here one time, beginning early on, and I heard someone, people were coming and going. It was after practice and stuff, and I had heard, it might even have been during after service, I can't remember, but I heard someone talking, this was years ago, about somebody, about relationship advice and what they should do. I thought, have you not seen their resume? It's constantly, this was years ago again, so the person's not even with us anymore. I mean, they're with us alive, but they're not part of things. And I thought to myself, what are you doing asking them? First of all, what are you doing? Because what they were asking were matters of the heart. Like not just, like, I'm already in a relationship, you know. Would she like roses or chocolate better for Valentine's Day? Like, you probably don't need to ask God that. Unless the person you're with is really serious about roses and chocolates, and you better get it right. Or you might have to pay a price, you know. This was like, do you think I should get involved in this situation? And it was a person asking about another person to get involved with that wasn't even a Christian. And they're asking this fellow Christian, do you think I should do this? And out of their mouth said, yes, this is what I think you should. This is what I think you should. And I'm sitting there just thinking, what in the world? But how many times do people do that? What do you think I should do about this job? What do you think I should do about this money? What do you think I should do about this? What do you think I should do about that? I mean, are we living with God? Are our friends God? Are our coworkers God? It's dangerous. And we see even the disciples who were with Jesus, who were in the midst of the greatest move on earth, missed it and gave wrong advice because of circumstances, thoughts, and feelings. I don't care. Like, sometimes people will ask me, I just had a recent situation where somebody asked me, what do I need to do about this? You should listen to your pastor in matters of the Word of God. Absolutely. Amen. And it's nothing wrong with bouncing things off your pastor. But I'm not your guide in the sense that it was something with a husband and wife in a situation, in their living situation. They asked me, what came right out? What should we do? I don't know. Whatever the Holy Ghost is telling you to do. Because there's certain things we can tell you, this is what the Word says, but there are specific things that the Holy Ghost has to enlighten us on. Call Pastor Michael. Pastor Michael, I'm sitting at a house that I can't afford, but I really like it. Should I put an offer in? I don't even want to know what he'd do when I saw him in person. I mean, the looks that I'd get and the smile, the smirks, you know. I don't know, Pastor Mike, should you? What's God saying about that? You know, the Word says prosperity, and the Word says there's a place for it, meet all your needs. But I don't know if that's the car, if that's the person, if that's the house, if that's the job you should take, if that's the city you should move to. But so many people in the body of Christ make decisions based on opinions of man, feelings in their body, emotions and finances and convenience and inconvenience and what feels good, what doesn't feel good. And God's not in any of it. Praise the Lord. And it's dangerous. I know what time, I think I started preaching right around quarter of, so we're almost hitting an hour. I'll be done here in just a minute. I want to get some other things out here. What about my medical? Remember I was supposed to have a colonoscopy? I guess we might as well just bear all here. I was seeing blood when I was going to the bathroom. I thought, wow, that's interesting. You know, it was going on for quite a while. It seemed like quite a bit. So, of course, I did the smartest thing you're supposed to do is I Googled it. The genius thing that you do, you Google it. And so there I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm dying. And then I read something else, oh, it's no big deal. And so it's like back and forth. Well, I didn't have insurance at the time. So I said, Father, I already got in trouble in Bible school years ago when I didn't put my heat on because I was more afraid to believe God for the money and didn't want a high heating bill. And so I left my heat off and was freezing and ended up super sick. It was just stupidity. And so I said, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to avoid the hospital or the test because you have a colonoscopy, you pay out of pocket. It's not like, you know, going and having them measure your feet or something. You know, it's like nothing happens. Remember you go to the foot store and they put that thing on there and that doesn't cost very much to have that done. It's free, I think. Colonoscopy, it's not like that. Thousands of dollars. I said, well, I'm not going to avoid it. I'm not going to avoid it because of the money. But I'm certainly not just going to go get it done out of fear either. Father, what are you saying? And this is where you have to be careful with medical things. And because so many people just chuck medicine away and chuck physical appointments away and neglect their bodies, neglect the natural in so many cases. And they're not in faith for it. And they think they're in faith. And it's like, no, they're not sober about it. So I don't want to be that. So Father, what are you saying? It was clearly revealed to me that it was nothing. What I was reading about, it was nothing, that it was just absolutely nothing. Nothing needed to be done with it. So I had planned on doing nothing with it till I opened my big mouth. And I told a world champion warrior who loves me a lot what was going on. And oh boy, it was like open up the gate for the bull. Bam. Oh my gosh, Mike, you know you could do this and that. What's going to happen? This and that. And it got in me. And so I started listening to different voices. Listening, and then I didn't even see that, but look that up, and oh, yeah, that's what it says. So I went out of fear, out of listening to someone else, went and had the test done, woke up super groggy, you know, everything's great, nothing to be concerned about, it was nothing, God already told me that. But now I got to find out it was nothing with thousands of dollars of debt, because I didn't listen. My dog stories messed me up there, right? What about the sprinkler system here? The pros, the contractor, the building inspector, the courts, and the architect are telling us we have to have a sprinkler system. Started out at like 30,000, went up to 40, and it just kept rising and rising and rising. Well, you know what I did? I asked God, what do I do? And he said, no, believe that they're going to change the law. Well, that's a lot cheaper than raising 75 to 100 grand to have to do what they're going to do. But think about it. The people that know a heck of a lot more than me, the pros, and they are, were telling me, yeah, got to do it. The building inspector, got to do it. The courts, you got to do it. The contractor, got to do it. The architect, you have to. They're telling me this over and over And you know why they're telling me over and over? Because they're needing to get things moving. And also, I'm calling them every day. We still got to do that sprinkler system? Yes, Pastor Mike. We have to do that sprinkler system. And the deadline's coming where we're not going to have any more work to do and not be able to do any more work until you let us put that in. Just keep holding off. The Holy Ghost. But what would have happened if I would have listened to the pros? Oh, we would have got our sprinkler system with a hefty bill on it. Having to raise money, take a loan out, whatever we'd have had to do, right? Now, if God would have said, believe for the money, the grace would have been there. But there would have been sorrow attached to that money that we had to borrow or get loaned or whatever, paying that back because it wasn't God's perfect plan. But there's an example. You can't listen to people. You got to listen to the Holy Ghost. But so many people don't even know about the Holy Ghost or what. And so what? They do pros and cons lists, right? They weigh it. They talk and they get 10 people's different opinions. They Google it to find out. And the whole stinking time, the answer is right in there. The perfect answer for your life. Praise God. We'll close with this verse, Proverbs 20:27. How God leads us. We're going to learn, I'll tell you, we're going to be skillful. We're never going to get $1 million if we don't have a church following this. Never will. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of man, notice this, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, think about it back then. You know, I have my iPhone up here, and if we were turning the lights off, you can see I got my flashlight on. What was a candle back then? It was light. For what? To see where you're going, right? So when it got dark, you light the candles. Oh, I need to go down to the cellar. I need to go outside or something. I need to go upstairs. I need to get this. Well, I don't want to trip over the dog. Don't want to fall down the stairs. Don't want to run into things. So what? I use this light, this candle, to what? Guide me. Lead me. So I don't trip, fall, get hurt, stumble into wrong places. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. How's he leading, guiding, directing you? The spirit of man. And then notice this, and this we'll build on this. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. Say, where's that spirit, my spirit man located? Where's the spirit of God located? The belly of a man. That's where it is. That's where your answers are. Not here, not here. Not here, right here. Amen? Hallelujah. And we're going to keep growing on that. But check your own life. Well, how have I been being led? Have I been given into these things? He's not leading that way, and we need to get that in us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Don't we love him, church? Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We love the word. We love our guidance. I just even think right now, Father, so many thoughts going through my head of times when I disobeyed the leading of the Spirit, and it messed me up. It didn't lead to anything good ever. And then times where I followed the Holy Ghost and it led to things I could never have expected or never have thought to experience or enjoy myself. Yeah, Father, I thank you for that. We praise you for that. We magnify you for that. It just dropped in my spirit that I don't know why we have to pray in tongues. Just go ahead and start praying in the Spirit. Nabraguna na massa tracate se trebe ketete. Lata sa tracato sotro coto sotro porto sora basse tretete. Yaratano socorno no moscotroto sotramatata. Yesaroto fusurro ma massa kendolo socortata. Alla massa cunda la pesse kentolo sobromo cortato sotroboto. Alla massa kentolo sotto lo massa tramata. Now, let me just stop you real quick, and we'll pick this back up, because I know the reason now. It's for clarity. Whether every person gets clarity on something, there's certain situations that clarity needs to come, and it's going to come right now. Amen. You're going to know it. Yeah. Maku nasai. Naku masai. Yeah, answers and help. Comfort. Atula masula mesekete. La pasu kuntale sequentolo. Tarsikila basu tantele sequentolo sopuntaita. Zela motu kondale te shelemeo to sotro montosai. Salamai to sotromo kotro sopro kondasa traita. Hare de sekunda la sambla kotro soblama to sotro bukondra matete setre. Saramato so troppo corto se semblante su cunda ne messa l'umutu se lei tu so tromoto. Hara pa un tun cumpla cante le fesle me corta. Saramate slepo corto lo so troppo corto sopramate te. La parte so tromoto non so blane la so cundra ma bete surata. Sramato so rama be lo so cunda la tessa li ventur se le ma se le putta sarta le se vlen computare te slema corta ta. La patuna botuta repetere se le metto, l'arte se letto sotto il bobonto. Ah, salame cuore, salame cuore, salame cuore, sate si, slata slama carame tu slate. Slama tu slama cunda le vetesco trobota ne vestreme cuore papata, se lo morta andara ta si tisca tutto te slamete. E le mauro tu sondromo con la ma che trebbe con la mattetta slema quanto lo so robomo tora tascia tra. Slema cunda la sceclema tu se la bete slema ancora tascia tra vita bunsa nella marte tesca tre. Slema cara tu slo comba tale se trebbe con la tare tese ple. Yeah, we thank you for that clarity. Aprota namasa kita ta. Shele mota, shele mota, shele mota, shele mota tasa tra me che te. Slama kunda la te sklembo tula slama tete slema kurta to. La bande slen kumbate slen ben kutla semblenke te sebeto stro. Tra sara tusa rabate slema tusa dami ta sorta. Dami da sotra bala te setro. Lama kutra papasali, prapasali, prapasarita stro pungota. Lata sleko puta satrisa tro. Yes, utasa alta sorda, delon, katasa tra, yes, ruta, tasa tra, ne pleku, tala satiska trosototom, navran, gatora pa katelo, sokora mamastra tesa trapato, lese treke stropo, kotro, sopropondo, sopranda, desetre. Abra mamatisa, ramamatuska, ramateska tre. Lesa urta la salima scura matese tre. Lama canta destre pocorna sablante sulle techete. Lata strencota sa rabba pantusa la masiki tistra urtana. Lesa vlenco, lesa vlenco, lesa vlenco la calaputa. Dresa rota, dresa rota, dresa rota la. Dreson gutara, dreson gutrata shate. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that clarity. Ah, bo, da, da, bo, sa, da, si. Yes, ale, yes, ale, yes, ale, yes, ale. Slango, slango, ta, sa, la, si, ti, si. Slato, sa, ta, so, ta, la, si, ki, mo, so, to. Lempon, kala, ma, te, slen, kurta, la, mashta, te, te, lo, so, burna, si, ta. Slava, to, strafe, to, bo, so, kora, ma, ma, ta, se, te, te. Let's just spend a moment in praise and worship. That's in His presence as well. Clarity comes there as well. We just worship You. We worship You. We worship You. We love You. We bless You. Glory, glory, glory. Ah, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Worship You. Worship You. Worship You. Worship You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. We praise You. In Jesus' name, we thank You, Father. One of the great things that will come out of this series is learning to decipher that voice of the Holy Ghost. You know, being sensitive to that is why at times we can stop in a service and say, and call things out and be right on, or preach messages that hit bullseyes, or like there where I'm just arrested. I mean, I was planning a closed service, and no, we need to pray in the Spirit, and then being told what it was. And I don't know for anybody else, but for myself, I was shown things to come as far as a situation that has been troubling me and how it's going to turn out. And it's so contrary to what my mind and my flesh tell me, and just the bombardment of it, and that clarity came. So even if that was just for me, I'll take it. Praise God. But we'll learn in this series. So I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. Father, thank you so much. I mean that. Thank you so much. I'm going to hold on to that, Father. I'm going to hold on to that for dear life. Love you so much. We praise you. Bless each and every person as they go forth. Love you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. I sure do love all of you. We'll see you on Sunday morning. You're dismissed. Praise God.